Turn to the book of 1 Timothy, I think. The message I want to get across this morning, I just entitled it, Stand Fast in the Faith, a Message of Hope. Because we live in troubled times, don't we? More than we've seen in my lifetime. I've never seen disruption on the scale that it's been. It shouldn't surprise us as we've seen the years go by that it's coming to this place. We know, and you know, I don't preach end time stuff. Probably don't preach on it as much as I need to. But we don't know when the end of time is going to be. But it certainly appears that it's closer than it has been. And I think we could all agree with that. We've seen dramatic changes in my childhood to now, just in governmental positions, living, every conceivable thing that affects our lives seems to have morphed into greater wickedness. And again, shouldn't surprise us as we know Satan's busy, influencing, doing what he can, getting all that he can to disrupt, to tear down. That's what he does. But we know that God's in control.
Amen.
We serve a sovereign God. And we can say that with all authority in the Word of God, but we certainly need to know that deep down in our hearts, and the way we do it is through the Word of God and studying the Word of God and meditating upon it day and night, giving ourselves to it, reading it over and over and over again, getting familiar with it. That's where we find our peace. That's where we find those great little nuggets like Brother Lamar brought out this morning, of the love of a pastor for his church and how it should be. That's Paul's love, a dying love, a self-giving love, which stayed there and died, but they said, no, you know, God's got other purpose. Of course, they didn't know all that, but they were willing to die with him.
Yep.
That's how much they loved one another, because they shared not an actual love, because we can't love like that. They shared the love of Jesus Christ. Shed abroad in their hearts. It's greater, far greater than any love that we can begin to understand. And I wanted to read a few things this morning. Just reading last week, I get a little message. I don't know whether y'all ever heard of the Epoch Times or not. It's a pretty good newspaper. You have to subscribe to it. I don't. I just get emails occasionally from it and read, and you'll see it pop up. Have you seen it pop up on maybe some of your ads or something? Anyway, they declare that they're truly good journalists, and they seem to be doing good journalistic work in a society where journalism is no longer journalism. It's kind of a canned, force it down your throat leftism. And they seem to do a pretty good job on it. Anyway, a man had written, they just had one article. Out of all that's going on, I just kind of picked this. I could have picked many other things, but I'm going to talk about it through this, of what's going on and why it's going on in our lives, just to update us. And really, I'm behind updating you. I should have already been ahead of this. There was an article in the Epoch Times that said, in response to an article in the Epoch Times entitled, United States GDP, that's the gross domestic product, suffers record collapse. Jobless claims point to stalling recovery this past Friday. The U.S. economy suffered a historic collapse in the second quarter of this year. Factually, it's an annual falling, but it's still a bad falling. With Commerce Department figures showing gross domestic product GDP plummeting by 32.9% in annualized terms as business activity ground to a halt due to the pandemic. So it's saying that 33 1/3% of our commerce has crashed. You know, pretty significant news. Pretty significant news. Well, a man responds to this. And he entitles his response as Hope Conquers. And I want to talk about a message of hope, but this ain't going to sound like a message of hope to begin with. And you see the darkness before you ever see the light, and this is what he's pointing out. So he's just reviewing some things in our past, speaking specifically about the United States now. Of course, we know everybody's being affected, but we live here in Sweet Home, Alabama, so we're concerned. And we should be concerned about this. So this is what his response was. Hope conquers. And you just have to bear with me. I've got some things to say. I don't know where I'm going, folks. So just pray and let the Lord direct. But I do want to give you some hope at the end of this. He said, why is this such a shocker to anyone? He says, the government, pushed by President Trump's advisors and the president himself, called for a lockdown of the entire nation and almost all business. What did we think would happen? Common sense question. Then governors took it beyond the initial recommendations in many states, shutting down nearly all business. Of course, this would be a catastrophe. All of this is the judgment of God upon this nation and many nations of the world that have rejected the Son of God and been committing great evils in their countries. He goes on to say a few facts that we're familiar with but might need to be reminded of. The U.S. has been murdering millions of its own babies by judicial edict since 1973. This became an even easier proposition by this wicked court since they removed all prayer and Bible reading from public schools in 1963. 10 years, folks. 10 years. That's nothing. 10 years. We've removed Christianity from the schools. This is what's really saying. That's what we're saying. And quickly, what do we see? Killing of babies. 10 years later. Well, let's kill millions of them. They effectively removed Christianity from our government and our laws, and continue to interfere in religious matters from that time on, hundreds of cases. The second clause of the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law prohibiting the free exercise of religion. That's our second decree. Christianity was the only religion meant by the founders. He puts that in parentheses. We give freedom of all religions. Because Congress is the only authorized body to make federal laws, the Supreme Court overstepped their bounds and began making laws contrary to the Constitution. These are two of them. Gay marriage is another. They are also contrary to God's laws and utter rebellion against God Almighty. Then we've seen the riots break out, started by violent Marxist groups, BLM, Black Lives Matter, and Antifa is a left-wing political movement made up of various autonomous groups that opposes right-wing ideologies, often through militant protest and tactics. That's what they do. These groups don't care about black lives. They don't care about life, period. I'm going to tell you just something about black lives. I know y'all read these things, but I haven't expressed it, so I'm going to express it. When you pull up their website, first I'll say this about Black Lives Matter. All lives matter. My life matters, your life matters. Let me tell you the difference between a black person and a white person. It's called melatonin. It's 0.0% that makes the skin tone difference. We're one race under God. No black and white. Although there's black and white, we understand that. That's not the problem, is it? Sin's the problem. This is what they say. When you pull up, if you go on your website and look, what we believe, Black Lives Matter. And they start off, And they began giving their speech there. It started out as a chapter-based, member-led organization whose mission was to build local power and to intervene when violence was inflicted on black communities by the state and vigilantes. This is their purpose. Now you go on and read some more things, and you get down in there, and you really find out what Black Life Matters is all about. And it hasn't got anything to do with Black Life Matters. We are unapologetically black in our positioning in affirming that black lives matter. We need not qualify our position. We are guided by the fact that all lives matter regardless of actual or perceived sexual identity, gender identity, gender expression, economic status, ability, disability, religious beliefs or disbeliefs, immigration status or location. We make space for transgender brothers and sisters to participate and lead. We are self-reflective and do the work required to dismantle, that is, to destroy cisgender, a person whose gender identity corresponds with that person's biological sex assigned at birth. In other words, if you're born a male, you're a male. If you're born a female, you're a female. Their part of Black Lives Matter is we're going to change that. And we're going to implement all that we can to change that, to enhance their lives. That's what they're doing. Black Lives Matter. It says, a privilege uplift black folk, trans folk, especially black trans women who continue to be disproportionately impacted by trans antagonistic violence. And then they say, we disrupt means to disorder, destroy, break down. We disrupt, this is what they believe, this is what Black Lives Matter. We disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure. By this, they mean the institution of one man and one woman in marriage ordained by God. They disrupt that. They write it here in their thing. We disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement by supporting each other as extended families and villages that collectively care for one another, especially our children, to the degree that mothers, parents, and children are comfortable. We foster a queer-affirming network. When we gather, we do so with the intention of freeing ourselves from the tight grip of heteronormic thinking, or rather, the belief that all in the world are heterosexual unless she, he, or they disclose themselves. Instead of Timothy, turn to Romans. Romans 1. Now, brethren, I'm telling you something. That movement has been supported by millions and I'd say billions of dollars by now, because the NCAA, the NBA, all the sports, Black Lives Matter signs all over the nation, painting it in the streets. Brethren, our society is going. It's going. And we see anarchy, and I never thought I'd see in the United States that long a period of time that anarchy is still raging and not having been anything done about it. And governors, leaders in a state supporting such anarchy and going against authority and call themselves authority. Never thought I'd see that a day in my life. Black Lives Matter, here's what God says about that. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Brethren, I understand the wrath of God upon the sinner, but I'm telling you, when we hold the truth in unrighteousness, we experience that wrath too. We're accountable. We're to speak up. We're to train our children and teach them. When you talk to some of them, that you don't know where to start. It's like I've already been thrown into a strange world, and it shouldn't be. But there's no connecting or no starting place to be able to begin to get in their minds and show them the unreality that they're living in. But the Bible shows them that. But we need to, for them to understand that the Bible is where they're going to get all their answers. There's nothing that they're not going to have answered that's not in the Word of God. But they have to know that it's the truth. What matters? You know, you talk to people today and they say, well, you talk about the truth. I've got a truth and you've got a truth. My truth is good as your truth. And it's not. There's not but one truth. Jesus himself said, if you want to call me by another name, call me this. Truth. Life. Way. That's who I am. And that's the only hope that they have to escape what we're talking about here. You look at this Black Lives Matter. Listen, I just want to go down. He said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. They've rejected God on every count as we read down through here. Let me just read it quickly. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and his divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world. Brethren, there's a starting place right there. We've got to train our children. We've got to train whoever we come in contact with. We've got to get them to understand the creation of the world. If we believe in an evolutionary process, or if we can't explain a dinosaur, if we can't explain millions of years, how in the world are you ever going to teach them any morality about anything? If we come from scum, we'll never rise above it. But we didn't. God created in the beginning. He made man out of the dust of the earth. And that's the truth. And we have a starting place. And we're going to have an ending place. And God says, I've told you all about it from Genesis to Revelation. Teach your children. Teach yourself. And it has to do with that. If I come from nothing, why should I have any immorality? Why should I have any morality or care about any of these things that Black Lives Matter is doing now? Why should I care? I have no moral compass. If I'm just put together by chance, I haven't been designed that way. You haven't been designed that way. God is the great designer. He's designed us for his glory. Ineptly in every man, the ones that go to hell, the ones that go to heaven, his very being cries out to worship something. How did that get there? Because God the Creator put it in him. Sin corrupted it. And now we need to find him. We need to come to him and understand this is the only way that will be restored back unto God is through Jesus Christ, but God has made that way. He has made that way out of all this chaos that's now coming on the scene. But it doesn't surprise us, does it? The Bible says it'll wax worse and worse. Brethren, we're seeing it. It's at the door of the church. You watch what happens out in California. I am interested to see and praying to see what kind of reaction comes from John MacArthur's stand that he's taking. and from others that have done it. You just hear him in the forefront. There'll be some things said about that. There'll be some things said about that. And you watch and see what tries to be done. That's going to be very, very important. Critical for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Persecution arises. We haven't experienced it. Somebody might hurt our little feelings. We think we're being persecuted. Brethren, we haven't been persecuted for our faith. And nobody put a gun to my head and said, you gonna believe in him or you gonna take his bullet for him? Because ultimately that's what they're doing. They're taking away your life, your freedoms. Where are we gonna stand? This is how it progresses. He said the wrath of God, he said he made it known to them. He said, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking. How futile is the thinking when you want to change a girl to a boy and a boy to a girl? How futile is that? Although they knew God, they did not honor him God nor give thanks, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. This is where God begins to give people over. Look, I made that statement about prayer being taken out of school. We realized some of the impact of that when that happened. But we never ever thought how deep that could go. And it's gone deeply into the heart of the United States. 1960s. You look what's happened from the 60s till now, brethren, 40 years later. How far we've fallen. The ungodliness that's been just pouring on this continent. This is how it starts. It starts with the sexual revolution. In the 50s, you had the families going to church, strong backbone of America. In the church is growing, the church is being strong, and right on the heels of that, Satan ain't gonna have it. Let's start a sexual revolution. Let's get these hippies all going. We're gonna have free love, and we're gonna have sex with everybody. Sexual immorality. Yep. Verse 24, listen. Therefore, God gave them up to the lust of their hearts, to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. That's the beginning of it, brethren. Because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. They did away and started denying the institution of marriage. They said, we don't need that. Let's just live together. The government said, well, that sounds good. Let's just let them have a common law marriage. We'll just let them just stay together. And when they do, it just kind of mingles in there. Well, we don't really know where you're married. You don't have to do, you don't have to just meld it over. Don't even have to do that. We'll pay you money too. Just, you know, have as many babies as you want to out of wedlock. Doesn't matter. The next thing we see from sensuality, you go through the 60s. When you come into the 80s and the 90s, somebody starts coming out of the closet. You know, they were in the closet. When I ever heard of a homosexual, when I was in my teens, we thought it might be that guy that lived down the road. He might be one, but we never did know because people, it was against the law to be a homosexual. Romans 26. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. Gave them up to sexuality. Now he gives them up to homosexuality. For the women exchange natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion on one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty of their error. AIDS. All these venereal diseases that are now facing the nation. homosexuality. We come to 2020. Gender bending, is that what it's called? That they say now they can go in, or what a gender fluid. I just got this one the other day. Gender fluid. It's what you feel like today, brother. If you don't feel like a man today, you feel like a woman, you can act like a woman today. The mindlessness of that, people. The mind's gone. No reason. How can you reason something like that? Biology cries against that. The very thing that they would stamp on and camp on cries out against it. Verse 28. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, this the problem. God gave them up to a debased mind, a reprobate mind. Brother Maul again used it this morning. Appreciate all the intro this morning, brother. A worthless mind. Worthless. I'm going to change the sex of my child. I'm going to wait till he starts growing up or she grows up and say, well, do you still feel like a boy today? Well, you know, Daddy, I don't feel like a boy today. I think I feel more like a girl. Well, let's get you some clothes on and dress up like a girl. You know, back in Leviticus, the law, you know, said if you dressed up like a man, that was ungodly. So that was an abomination. God used the word abomination. But not today. Not in today's culture. Since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. What ought not to be done. There's no consciousness there. It's mindless. It's whatever I want to do. I've got the freedom to do it. They think they've got the freedom to do it. And it's all governed by the sinfulness. Right. They're in bondage to Satan, don't know it. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil. Boy, that puts it on the nose, don't it? Yeah. Disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Ruthless. And listen, this is the saddest part of this. In verse 32, though they know God's decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. Speak out against homosexuality in public and see what happens to you. See what happens to you. Say the wrong thing about black life matters. Say something the wrong way with the wrong adjective in a crowd of people and see what happens to your life. You'll be ostracized, persecuted, maybe shot and killed. Who knows? In this era we live. Well, there's more. I want to finish reading this letter and give you some hope before we leave here. I'm running out of time. I'm going to quit saying that. I'm going to go back to my letter. He said, then we've seen riots break out, started by violent Marxist groups. That's all orchestrated, brethren. We're not fools. We can look and see. The news is not going to tell you the right thing for the most part. Some try to. They're not always biased either, unbiased. But there, you can see it. I mean, it's easy to see that black life that mattered doesn't turn into, if you've really got real heartfelt concern, it doesn't turn into lasering policemen's eyes and throwing batteries at them and throwing acid on and burning buildings down. It doesn't morph into that. True love and care doesn't do that. We don't do that as Christians. We're not called to go out in the streets and protest. You know how we protest? We protest on our knees. We beg the gates of heaven and say, Lord, have mercy on us and turn this nation around, starting with me. Starting with me. Turn this nation around. Listen, we've got these groups. He said these groups don't care about black lives. They don't care about life, period. They are hell-bent to change our government and laws to Marxism. Abolishing the police will lead to utter chaos and lawlessness, and they know revolutions are much easier to achieve in the midst of disorder. You think if we go to a police state, you ain't seen nothing yet. Do you see something like that? Our armies have to patrol our streets instead of police officers. To achieve their goal, they needed a just cause, and you know what they used. To get many people on board their train of insurrection to provide a smokescreen for their wicked activities of burning, looting, murdering, and fomenting rebellion. Those who have joined them, including many major businesses with billions of dollars, begin funding them openly again to provide cover and funds for their rebellion. But God has allowed all of this because many have been given over to reprobate minds because of their rejection of Christ and His Bible and morals. This too is a sign of the judgment of God, who gives men over to this debased mind to do criminal and lawless acts with no conscience, even thinking they are right. Much worse things are to come upon this nation. It has only begun, as most are yet to even recognize God speaking to the nation. They refuse to listen to His goodness. Now they face His wrath. Will abortion be addressed? Are godless schools, gay marriage, perhaps when millions begin to die and war breaks out? I don't know, he says. In His name, he now signs it, Hope Conquers. I don't know. Americans must face their national sins and bring change and justice or face annihilation. And that was his response to just that one article in the paper. Of course, addressing all the issues that we're facing in our nation today. And then on the heels of that, I get from my Primitive Baptist friends still sending me emails, keeping me up with different people moving and going here and there. And I enjoy and appreciate that so much. They have a mission in Haiti. And this is what this pastor sends out, just a short little thing for prayer. He says, greetings from the Haiti Primitive Baptist Church and Good Samaritan Project. Haiti is experiencing serious spiritual and social problems. The government wants to legalize homosexuality and penalize any church and pastor who refuses to perform same-sex weddings. COVID-19 cases are increasing seriously. Just a short message in little Haiti. In the United States, all over the world, facing it. It's here. We need to understand it. Turn back to Timothy. Paul says this. Remember, he's writing to a young preacher, Timothy. Timothy has been his protege, I suppose we could say that, and he's been teaching him. He's under his wing. He loves him. He sees that he's a young pastor. He needs much guidance. And so these pastoral letters are specifically for the duties of a pastor and the duties of a deacon. But as we read that now, we read it also to you as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, as from learning from a pastor, from Paul, from Timothy to me, and now giving it to you, it embraces us all because it's talking about what we need to do and be as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know he talks a lot about persecution, and I was intending to read 1st and 2nd Timothy, some of all of it, but I'm not going to be able to get there, so I'm going to just try to leave you with some peace in your hearts this morning that would encourage you even in the midst of this. Paul starts off his letter to Timothy. He says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by command of our God and Savior and of Christ Jesus, our hope, to Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. He always wants us to understand grace, mercy, and peace. Brother Lamar has taught many Sundays on grace, mercy, and love, or however all that was. There you go, great, that's it. And we've learned much from that. We need to hear that every day of our lives to encourage us. To know when we talk about the things I talked about this morning, as scattered as that been, we know what's pressing down on us. That's the world out there. But God has not called us out of the world. We can't go hiding in our homes and just staying unto ourselves, you know, as individuals. We're the body of Christ. And the body needs to be moving and reaching. And then I don't care how small it gets down to one or two. He said, we're two or more gathered. That's what he said. He'd be there, and so we have an influence, and we're to influence the world and not to let the world influence us. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. Tell the world of my love that there's hope, there's mercy, there's peace in the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of all the sin and the degradation and all that's coming down, that's getting worse and worse. Not catching us off guard if we read the pages of Red at all. We know it's coming. We know in our own lives. Timothy, Paul will tell Timothy, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There's no doubt about it. Right. Am I living a godly life in Christ Jesus? How can I tell? I'm being persecuted. That's not true. The Bible's not right. Why, you got to just use Jesus as a crutch. That's all that is. You can't even face life without leaning on somebody else. There's no truth to that. No antiquated book that doesn't even match up. You can't prove this. You can't prove that. We can do it. It's true. I know the Holy Spirit convinces, but we're to teach. And the Holy Spirit uses us in that way. So Paul says, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know where else I'd want to get it from. As I urge you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus so that you may change certain persons, not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies, which promote speculation rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith. You teach sound teaching, and I understand that in this now we're getting into the Jews and the genealogies and all that, but let's reach out just a little bit further because God's Word's greater than just that. He's talking about different doctrine. Now, when we say doctrine in the church, we think scriptural doctrine, don't we? Well, doctrine just means teaching. So teaching's teaching. It doesn't matter what kind of teaching it is. So he says, so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different teaching or doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. What is evolution? Is it fact or myth? It's myth. But they teach it in school as a fact. I have been shocked and surprised that history is no longer taught in school as it was in my day. How in the world do they know where they're going if they don't know where they come from? No wonder our children don't have any guidelines, don't have any moorings. They're not even getting good, sound, secular, fundamental teaching any longer. We've got to teach our children. Now, I'm not talking about specifically my own children. I do have that responsibility. But young people, people everywhere, adults, anybody that'll listen, we need to introduce and start talking about the Word of God. Now, to devote themselves to myths, endless genealogy, which promotes speculations. We don't need to be speculating about anything. We need to know about many things. In fact, we need to know about everything that we can know. Rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith. What's the most important thing? The teachings of God. That's what he's saying. Verse 5. The aim of our charge is love. The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. When we teach, we must be loving. We can't be demeaning. I was watching on YouTube. Boy, you can watch anything in the world on YouTube. But we have looked at this week some fascinating discussion between people that have left the faith and people of faith sitting down together and in a wonderful, loving, reciprocal way talk about their differences and why one left the faith. What were the causes? What were the things? And they could lovingly go to that place without threatening that person. And it was amazing to watch. It's sad to watch, but amazing nonetheless. And you can learn so much. So what you learn is the culture has changed so much from our day that you begin to get the cultural ideas that of where they're coming from. If I don't know where they're coming from, I can't really understand how to defend that from a scriptural standpoint until I really sit down and do like Isaiah said. He said, come let us reason together. Isn't that what he said? Come let us reason together. How do we reason together? We do it from a pure heart, a good conscience. What's the end result? Don't we want to see them saved? Don't we want to see people come to Christ? Amen. In a sincere faith. People know whether you're sincere or not. We know it. People know whether you're sincere or not. He goes on to say, certain persons by swerving from these things, by leaving these things, have wandered away into vain discussion. What have we been talking about? A lot of that. Desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or anything about which they make confident assertions. They don't even know what they're talking about. They're just spouting. The Bible calls that worldly wisdom. You know what Jesus says about that? So if you talk to somebody that's worldly wise, you better know your spiritual wisdom, because they'll wrap you up in little bitty knots. That's what he said. Paraphrase. Can't remember that exactly. That's what he said. He said, the worldly are wise in their wisdom, is what he says. So you better have an answer for your faith. That's what Peter said, isn't it? In a good conscience, have an answer for the faith that you have. Why do I believe what I believe? You better know why you believe what you believe. The truth's important. What is the truth? That's one of the things that the unbelieving and the believer had to say, or the one that left the faith, He said, well, what you're really in search of, he said, I want to know the truth. The truth. How many truths can be out there? Well, there can't be but one truth. That's what truth means. Anything besides the truth is a lie. Find it. Embrace it. Love it. Live it. That's what he's saying. Do that. I don't know where else I want to go here. Verse 8, he says, now we know that the law is good. If one uses it lawfully, understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and disobedience, for all those that's creating havoc across the nation, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who strike their fathers and mothers, for murderers, for sexually immoral, men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. How do we defeat that? In accordance with the gospel of the glory of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted. I've been entrusted with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have been entrusted with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It goes back to 2 Corinthians. We can't get away from it. 2 Corinthians 5, he says, you've been made ambassadors for Christ. Be ambassadors for Christ. We have a message of conciliation and reconciliation. Call them and call them, be ye reconciled to God. And how do we do that? Paul said the aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. He says this, and I'll close because it's getting late. Verse 15. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of which I am the foremost. And he says, but I receive mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. You're to be an example before the world that they might believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to take the message to the world. To start with our families, to start wherever we can. If it's in Walmart, I don't care where it's at. It can be started just in conversation. We need to look for those avenues. Paul said, I pray when I go into a town, I pray that an effectual door will be opened unto me. What was he saying? Lord, open it up, prepare the hearts, I'm bringing the word of God. I want to see changed lives for the glory of God. What's going to stop all this? The Lord God Almighty. How are we going to survive it? In the Lord Jesus Christ. Who's given us faith, hope, and understanding and confidence to live a life. The good fight of faith. As Paul said, I've fought the good fight of faith. We're fighting the good fight of faith. Let us be as the Apostle Paul said. I'm about almost through. He still wanted to fight. He fought to the last breath, as we should, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. God help us to do these things for the sake of our nation, but more importantly, for the glory of God. This is my prayer for Christ.